in doing it, I met so many artists, got more committed to showing them in the way they wanted to be shown rather than the way somebody wanted to show them. There's a big difference in listening to the artists. And I started writing about art and writing with artists and even making art with them sometimes.
Explain how the curatorial process is compared to your writing and their other creative work.
Yeah, I try to make all my work kind of the same in my head, or I would go bonkers, you know, because it's just too many things I'm doing. And if they're all kind of one thing, I have one mission, I have one way of being in the world, and I hold myself steady in it, then I don't get discombobulated in it. A lot of it is listening for what should happen, noticing when something comes to you, which is something I really learned from Anishinaabe elders. Like, watch what's coming around you. Be quiet, be still, listen, see who's coming to you, see what's around you. What have you ignored that you maybe shouldn't have ignored? So that has made it work for me to be kind of trusting and faithful to that concept of what needs to come to you will come to you, and what you need to show up for will be there. Those things have really helped me. I really encourage Native folks at whatever age they're in to look into working with arts organizations, working across disciplines, finding places you can collaborate with others, because it's just satisfying. It feels less like, you know, the solo artist in the Western tradition, in the Euro tradition, meant to just self-aggrandize and make themselves the center. But that's not so satisfying. And that's not where you're needed. You're needed to show up in community. And that gives back a lot. It gives you back a lot. So look for those times when you can work, you know, even if you're working in social work or a field that doesn't seem to have anything to do with art, look for ways that you can work, because I think it's our natural way of being. And then also, if people are interested in professional careers, museums, galleries, institutions, I think that's a great place for students to think about looking for work. There's still a fair amount of that. There's still a lot of interest in including communities. Somebody could make a living just being a social and community engagement specialist for Native artists. I think that job is really needed out there. So any entrepreneurs who like hanging out with artists that don't get frustrated when things aren't immediately going your way, that might be your job.
Well, what strategies did you use to develop an engaging and educational exhibition concept?
You know, I was thinking about the audience and who is going to walk in there. You know, everything from school kids to elders, Native people, non-Native people, visitors from other countries. You know, to engage them, I wanted there to be parts of the stories written, audio, so people could listen to a story, trying to hit every way that a person gets engaged and every age of person that might encounter it was the strategy.
Amiigwetch.
Minnesota Native News is produced by AMPERS, diverse radio for Minnesota's communities, made possible by funding from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and the citizens of Minnesota.
The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them and are not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
Once I had my son, I just knew that I was going to do something that I wasn't experiencing for myself. I didn't have mentors. I knew I was struggling with a form of depression. Mentally, I wasn't feeling good. I went to the library, went into the self-help area, and found meditation.
Buju Anin, welcome to Native Lights, where Indigenous voices shine. I'm your host, Cole Primo. Today, I'm excited to present Victoria Marie, an enrolled tribal member of the Sisseton Wahpeton Iote. She's the founder and owner of Indigenous Lotus, a wellness program that combines yoga classes, tribal dance, exercise, and meditation, with an emphasis on helping people cope with stress and trauma. Those stressors can include PTSD, homelessness, sexual exploitation, and poverty. In addition to classes and workshops, Indigenous Lotus also has a line of streetwear. Victoria is also a doula, lactation counselor, mother, and grandma. So I hope you enjoy our conversation. We, of course, speak on Indigenous Lotus and her other pursuits. It was a great conversation. So here you go.
Hello.
Buju, Victoria, could you please start by giving us a quick introduction and just letting us know where you're joining us from?
My name's Victoria Wachihimazuya. I am Plum Woman, and I am from System Wapton Oyate, and I am joining here in Shakopee, Minnesota.
So how are you? How's the family doing?
Really good. We have a blended family, actually, so it's never a dull moment here. So my partner and I, we've been together for 2 years now, and he has 3, 9, 12, and 15, and I have a 5-year-old and a now 21-year-old. And so we all live in this house together. We also have a lot of pets that accompany us here, and we have 2 dogs. We have a rabbit who's running around here right now, tearing up anything that's made of cardboard. And then we have 3 cats as well.
Wow, that's a lot of activity in the household.
Yeah.
We also like to ask, you know, as we get the conversation going, like, what's something that you're geeking out about, a show that you're watching, a book that you're reading?
Well, I have so many interests. So actually, what I'm very thrilled about, and it's not always the, I guess, the most exciting thing for people, is I just started therapy again. Before, I had attended therapy on a few different occasions in my later teens, and then again in my 20s, and then again after I had my daughter, also dealing with Hashimoto's. But this time around, I joked with my therapist. I said that, you know, I no longer feel I'm a flight risk in therapy. And you get to all the good stuff, right? Like all the stuff you just look forward to working on, you know, the deep stuff. And this time around, I don't know if it's me coming into, like, I'm 38, so I don't know if it's me coming into, like, you know, another chapter, another decade of existence and adding on to my life. But it's been this huge awakening experience for me. I do have these OCD symptoms as well as ADHD, but I'm a constant learner, so I'm always learning. And I found myself on this path to my goal in life. I have realized some years ago that I just want to be just like my grandma. Like, I want to be a grandma, a present grandma, tell stories and listen to all my grandkids. And but how do I get there, right? So I found myself finally stepping on that path of what that can look like for me. It has been therapy, actually, for me. I have my own feelings about therapy. I don't think therapy works for everyone. There are definitely different ways to go about healing, as we know. But this is, it's working. And actually, I've been really consistent, and I leave feeling great and on track into some challenging things. And it's been so beneficial, and I'm learning so much about myself and in a much more loving and accepting way.
Thank you for sharing. I mean, therapy is something that I've always kind of flirted with, like, getting into. And it's especially something that I'm thinking of now that I'm a new parent, dealing with the frustrations, the challenges that come along with it. So I am curious, and it might be something that I look into. How do you go about choosing the therapist or the person that you open up to?
It was a little bit challenging for me to find somebody that I felt comfortable with. I guess that didn't know me. Like, who doesn't know me but can also understand what I've been through in my life as an Indigenous person growing up in a Native community, living on the reservation for some time? You know, like, just these different type of experiences that aren't like your typical norm, I guess. For me, I guess it was just going to see if we work. What are your approaches? So who do I feel most comfortable with? What do I want to talk about? What do I want to address? We obviously don't want to peel off all the band-aids at once either. And also seeking a therapist where I don't want to be long-term You know, I don't want this to be something that I rely on for my healing either. Somebody I can progress with and somebody who we're just crossing paths with at this moment. And then I'm moving on. So I've been looking at it just as this temporary time with somebody who's helping me sort out some issues that are coming up for me at this time, because I don't want to address everything that I feel needs to be addressed at one time.
You're listening to Native Lights, where Indigenous voices shine. Native Lights is produced by Minnesota Native News and Ampers, with support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Today we're speaking with Victoria Marie, an enrolled tribal member of the Siston-Wahpeton Paniote. Victoria is the founder and owner of Indigenous Lotus, a wellness program with the mission of helping people cope with stress and trauma. I think sometimes you think of a therapist as somebody like you're talking to for years and years and years, and maybe that tends to push some people away from getting into it. But if it's something where you're just getting things right for, you know, a temporary time, I mean, that's good too. So, okay, well, let's get into Indigenous Lotus. Can you talk about how that came to be? I see that yoga is a big part of it, but there's much more to it than that.
The very beginning of it started back when I was about 17, dropped out of high school at the time. I had just given birth to my son, and dropping out of school, I didn't have anything to do. I mean, anywhere to go. I was living at Little Earth at the time. And once I had my son, I just knew that I was going to do something that I wasn't experiencing for myself. I didn't have mentors surrounding me at that time that I felt that I was learning from. So I went to the library, and I knew I was struggling with a form of depression. Obviously, the hormones are, you know, out of whack, and I didn't know anything about that either. I just knew mentally I wasn't feeling good, and I was really struggling with being a mom. And I went to the library, went into the self-help area, and, you know, pushed my son down there with the stroller from Little Earth, walked all the way over to Lake Street there, and found meditation. Never practiced it, didn't hear of anybody doing it, but I have always had this sense of learning. So I was like, all right, let me try this and figure out what this is and go from there. So that was just kind of the foundation of what started my healing journey for me. The further I read within this time that I had spent at the library, it had been a few months or so, I then found yoga. Didn't know what that was either. I've seen it in like these workout videos, you know, you might find on an old movie or something, and kept it to myself. As I got older, a few years into my early 20s, I started working with youth. And I then found that meditation, that like breathing and just being calm, because you work with children, it's a very humbling experience, you know. So it's something. Having to be able to focus on breath and to center and to reapproach something, you know, meditation is very, very significant for me at that time. I then was teaching my son before bed. Let's go ahead and close our eyes. We would practice visual meditation, you know, when he was around 8, 9 years old at this time. So I had been, from the time he was born until then, had just been inserting these things. The further along I worked with youth, the more I realized the lack of movement we were doing, just in general. We were having access to learning how to sing, ceremony, powwow, dancing. We had this type of access, but not everybody danced. Movement is so healing. We need that. And so I decided to really look at what was benefiting me in my hard times that I had done alone or had shared with my son. I wanted to further my knowledge in that. How could we start bringing movement beyond running, beyond going to the gym? And then as I started my journey, enrolled into a 200-hour yoga certification program. It took about 12 months to complete. I just thought to myself, you know what, I'm going to quit everything that I know, all stability that I have here with my 7-to-3 job, and I'm going to teach yoga. And so I wrote for a grant with the Tiwahe Foundation just for yoga mats and supplies, some in which I still actually use and have to this day. I was just going to go teach back in Little Earth. I wanted to teach the youth movement and to have fun with movement. That then became Indigenous Lotus. And I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know what direction I was going to go. I just knew that movement is something that we weren't doing enough of with each other, with our children, within our practices. We do a lot of talking, right? A lot of talking about what we're going through, conflict resolution conversations. We do a lot of talking, but it's the doing is what is going to really support that work when it comes to healing. We need to move our bodies. And it took off a lot faster, actually, than I was expecting. Now it's involved into a few different kind of areas, from like clothing to like utilizing my artwork or just putting together things and putting that on clothing, to public speaking about self-healing work from my own experience, other type of workshops, movement related. So it's not always just the focus on yoga, it's just movement in general, with my respect in the foundations being that of yoga and what yoga is altogether.
So humble beginnings, and it evolved from there. Could you talk more about like what Indigenous teachings, inspiration, cultural aspects that are being used amongst the programs offered?
The name Indigenous Lotus is indigeneity as human beings in general. Yes, I am Indigenous from here in the Midwest. I am Dakota, I am Sistan-Wapton, and I am Santee. Part of my ancestry on my mom's side is tending to this land. Then there's the ancestry of my father, who is Norwegian, Irish, Swedish descent. That indigeneity is in that land, tending to that land. So when I am talking about any type of cultural teachings, the Indigenous is very broad, because it's a part of like what makes us who we are. That Indigenous, that indigeneity, comes from our ancestry and where we're from, and knowing the stories of the land, knowing how we took care of the land and what that land has done for us and nurturing us. And then the lotus piece is that underlying that yoga saved my life. And it's still to this day is what holds me and keeps me grounded. So the cultural pieces that I tie in, because I work with also non-native to this region, non-Indigenous to this region, I keep it as broad as I can in my teachings, but also sharing from my own knowledge as well too. And that's why Indigenous Lotus also has our annual event, where we put on a platform Indigenous people to come and share their different types of teaching modalities and their culture, and to share that with others.
Great. You've touched on this already, but could we dive a little bit more into like how yoga, how Indigenous Lotus helps in trauma recovery and PTSD, the effects of that? How does yoga help that?
So yoga is about overall connection. So those 12 limbs, after each of those limbs is like unification within our mind body. When we're working with those who are experiencing PTSD, experiencing traumatic events, walking around with all this baggage, like on our back, our shoulders, right? We're carrying these things around. The point of it is meeting each other where we're at. And that's one of the things that I've been really strong about with the work that I do, is to meet people where they're at. Because we can't always be defined by the mistakes we've made, right? Or the harm we've even caused, or what has been done to us when we come together and we have that unification, that connection, when we are moving, when we're breathing, when we're being mindful, when we're being present, we can show up for one another. We can give grace. We can offer a listening ear. With yoga, it's unification, and with also that meeting one another where we're at this point in time.
Thank you. Whatever you're comfortable in sharing, but you recently needed time, or I'm not sure how recently, needed time to take a step back, to pause Indigenous Lotus. Could you talk about that, like where you are on that journey, what's helped in that recovery?
Yeah, so a part of that journey involves previous story with someone else, so I'll just share briefly on that. So I was in a relationship for 10 years or so. It was challenging. It was also the time that I had started my business, and the challenges that I had experienced were infidelity in this relationship. I carried, even at the time of doing a lot of work that I was doing, I carried a lot of hurt from that. Just trying to manage that while being in it. And then Indigenous Lotus just took off at the same time. It took off too fast for me at the time. It was all of a sudden like going from state to state to state to state. So it was like constantly moving around, constantly talking, constantly addressing all these like issues or concerns that people wanted to work on, you know? So like workshops would be developed, conversations would be had. While at the same time I was struggling, it felt like I was being a complete hypocrite. And it was really hard for me to continue to do that work while being in such a hurt place. And then I had my daughter, and carrying still that hurt with me, it was just really sad, really hurt. Finally had ended that relationship, but just before I had ended it, after I had my daughter in 2020, during the whole thick of COVID and isolation, I was diagnosed with Hashimoto's disease. And my Hashimoto's disease was triggered by a vitamin D deficiency, which I had no knowledge of. So I didn't know I was going to the hospital frequently. This was completely overlooked by my healthcare providers. So that Hashimoto's plays a significant role in the entire function of the body, from mental clarity to digestive issues. Just, it was forcing a depression on me too, on top of already being sad. So on top of like being hurt, being sad, being a mom again, and then feeling like I was missing out on my son, who was a teenager at the time, I felt like I was missing all his games. I was missing like high school. I was like, while I was still trying to take care of this newborn. Finally, like after really, really trying to get to the root of why I was struggling with Hashimoto's and how I could better myself, when I started coming out of that and my hormones started balancing out, I was able to think clearer in my thoughts. That's when I ended the relationship that I was previously in, decided just to move out, move on, and kind of dealt with that transition over a few years. After feeling really great mentally, I felt a lot better. Physically, I was feeling like I was back home in my body. I had decided to be open to dating after your time and found a partner who is somebody I'm still with. We're celebrating our 2-year. Just being with someone who is so kind and so loving and so sweet and nurturing. It was almost, my nervous system was just like, this is really great, but this is also really different. And so I had to take that time to then figure out, what am I doing? And where am I going? And who am I now? Because it was almost like this, I mean, when you're in a relationship with somebody, that's a part of your identity. If you're with somebody for so long, it was just a time where it was like, okay, who am I? What am I doing? Obviously, the amount of work that I had been doing previously was not sustainable. I was a workaholic. All that hurt, all the things that I had done, I had been through, I put everything into my work and I just didn't stop. I would work 14 hours, 20 hours a day and barely sleep. And I would just keep it going. And then I would work, 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 or work, crash. Work, 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 crash. And so that's when it was like, okay, I need some time. So I took the time. My partner, him and I, we learned co-parenting and we learned blending families. We both are in therapy. It was just something I had to really look at, like, what am I doing? Where do I want to go? Is this work I still want to continue? And I've always just wanted to help others. I think that's why I go with that. Like, just meet them where they're at. Meet someone where they're at. You know, I meet myself where I'm at every day because every day is different. I'm still on my cycle changes, you know, so perimenopause hasn't kicked in yet, I don't think. So it was just a break. It was a break to figure out, get back on track in a new way that was also going to be not just helpful for others and supporting others, but also for myself.
You're listening to Native Lights, where Indigenous voices shine. Native Lights is produced by Minnesota Native News and Ampers with support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Today we're speaking with Victoria Marie, an enrolled tribal member of the Siston Wahpeton Iote. Victoria is the founder and owner of Indigenous Lotus, a wellness program with the mission of helping people cope with stress and trauma. So when did you jump back in and like, how did it inform, you know, what you did going forward?
After talking about it with my partner, I just felt like I was ready. Part of me felt like I wasn't doing anything for a long time, and that was hard to live with. So I had to wait until these, like, the feeling of doom, anxiety, all these things. I had to wait for this, what I felt was like dysregulation. I had to wait until that, like, subsided. Or if it did come up, how was I approaching it? Was I being kind to myself when these like urges of like, oh, I need to work. I have this great idea, because that's what I do. It's like I have all these great ideas and then I create so much work for myself. And then I'm like, oh, I could do it. I could do it. I could do it. That's that workaholic aspect of it too. So for me, it was being able to regulate myself and then being able to focus on one thing at a time. Especially having a lot of thoughts all the time. Like my mind never shuts off. Hence why I'm in therapy. It's why I'm loving it, actually. But really, it was surrender. I just surrendered and I just stopped trying to control everything. And it was so hard. And there are times when I cried. I'd laid in bed one day and I just remember crying and crying and crying because I felt defeated. I also had to remind myself not to rush through my emotions, not to rush through my feelings. All these things that I've learned and I've shared with others over these years, I was like, this is a time that I'm just going to do that. It was just purely sitting with surrender and allowing for myself to just be until I finally felt the sense of peace with myself. That even when these emotions came up, these feelings.